Anybody here today who are believers and disciples of Jesus Christ? Amen. Put your hand up. Praise God. Now put your hand on your head. Heavenly Father, I pray for each person who's got their hand on their head this morning. I pray that by your Spirit and through your word, their mind will be transformed. Amen. That, Lord, they will become all that you have intended them to be. That, Lord God, they will not fall short by unbelief, doubt, or anything else, but they will step into all that you have said we can be in Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I haven't got long. Oh, I don't know. There is this variable where sometimes you can go to a quarter past. I don't use it very often. Daryl does. But I just thought I'd mention. But I want to complete today what I've been talking to you about for the last few weeks concerning who we are in Christ. Now, the guy on the data, Andy, you'll have to be as sharp as a razor today. All right. So praise God. So I'm just going to ask you to put the first one up. Watch this. Now. Oh, God. Come on. Come on, even the music couldn't get that, could they? Right. Praise God. So just to brighten up your memories, where I was a few weeks ago, Genesis, in the beginning, God, the Ancient of Days, the Creator who creates angels and archangels, the Bible says God's amazing plan is that he had something in mind that the angels weren't sure about, didn't know about until he released it, a rumor that Lucifer didn't like, who was an archangel. And that was simply this, that God was going to create a being made in his image with an eternal capacity to have a relationship and a fellowship with the living God. That creation was to be next to God. You read it in Psalm 8. They were to be in fellowship, close. Say close. Close to God. But what happened was, if you read your Bible, you'll find out that Isaiah tells us in 14 that Satan fell, Lucifer fell, and deceived even Adam in the garden. And all that God had planned for Adam and Eve seemingly was robbed. And their position, rather than being next to God, was now lower than the angels, and Satan seemed to be all-powerful in the earth. All those scriptures are there. And so a different order ruled the earth, but God had a plan, reinstatement of man whom angels serve. God had a plan. If you remember my illustration, I did it twice, so I ain't doing it again. But man was at the bottom, God was up there, and basically God sent his Son into the world, and he became, according to Hebrews and to Psalms, he became a little lower than the angels. He came right down to our humanity, and he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And what all that had been lost in Adam, this second Adam, the Son of God, came and took hold of sin and all its chains and enslavement, and set us free by dying on the cross and raising from death, because death is the big final one, unless you know Jesus. And then Jesus takes us back into the rightful place so that we are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Next one, Andy. Quickly passing on. So remember last time, I think I produced about 50 of these sheets and they all went, praise God. We got more if you want them. Who you are in Christ, I'm not going to go through them all and give you the scriptures except to say, hallelujah, I am loved, I am accepted, I am a child of God, I am Jesus' friend, I am joint heir with Jesus, I am united with God. And once, if you started your day every day like this, you would go to work like a giant. I am united with God and one spirit with him. I am a temple of God. His spirit and his life live in me. Keep going, Andy. Doing great. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint. Hallelujah. Not Southampton. I am redeemed and forgiven. I am complete in Jesus Christ. I am free from condemnation. I am a new creation because I am in Christ. I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. I am established, anointed, and sealed by God. Getting better. Is there another one, Andy? There is. Hallelujah. You might get louder by the end of this one. Hallelujah. I do not have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. I am God's co-worker. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. I have direct access to God. I am chosen to bear fruit. I am one of God's living stones being built upon in Christ as a spiritual house. I have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. I can always know the presence of God because He never leaves me. God works in me to help me to do the things He wants me to do. I can ask God for wisdom and He will give it me whenever I need it. Okay, simply choose to believe what God says about you. How can two walk together? Amos 3:3 says, until you agree with Him. Now that's the problem. What's the next one, Andy? That's where you're going to stay today. You can now relax. Let me tell you a story. A man who I admired very much. Was a very successful businessman in America by the name of John G. Lake. But God called him into the ministry to serve Him, and he began to seek God more and more and more and to see breakthrough in his life in the area of healing. And so prolific was the healing that he came back after being in South Africa planting hundreds of churches through signs and wonders and healings. He came back to America to Spokane in Washington and set up the healing rooms. And the healing rooms were places where people came who were sick and terminally ill, and someone was appointed to be with them from John G. Lake's team, and they stayed with those people until they got well. But part of the change that had to take place was not physical, it was in the mind. In the mind. See, John G. Lake, when he was interviewed, after having a group of scientists in a hospital with him and a group of medical professionals, there was a man with a skin cancer on his arm. And he just went and put his hand on that side and on that side and said, "Watch as I pray." And he just prayed. And as they all watched, the skin cancer turned back to perfectly healthy cells. The scientists said, "How did you do it? Is it a con?" The medical people said, "We don't know how to explain it." But John G. Lake's comment was this: "How do you do this?" He said, "I am just an ordinary believer in Christ." He didn't say, "I've got some gift," right? He just said, "I'm an ordinary believer in Christ." I read something else just recently that I didn't know. Andrew Womack, who you'll probably see on God Channel and others, but apparently his son got sick very quickly and died. And as his son died, obviously he's a father. And he began to cry. And God spoke to him and said this. Listen carefully. "Why are you acting in a way that isn't you?" What do you mean, God? He said, "You've blessed me, my child, by being with your wife, somebody who has lived every day in praise. Can you not praise me that I am in charge of this situation?" Whoa. That gone too far for you already? It's hard, isn't it? So he began to praise God for the life that God had given them of their son. And they continued to pray. "No, God, because that's not me. I'm not going into that. I'm not going into that grieving and mourning." Some of them might say, "Oh, that's very difficult," because it's natural, isn't it? But he had learned something. Now that's all I can say to you. I'm not judging people who mourn, because when we lose someone, it's natural. I cried when my mum and dad died. I grieved. But you know, I also believe that there is something of a level that God can speak into our hearts that we say, I'm not going to stay like this. And he began to praise God because that was the new person that he is. Do you know what happens? His son came back to life. Check it on the internet. You see, friends, when I know who I am in Christ, please remember this if nothing else today, everything to which you conform will become your reality. Everything to which you conform will become your reality. So if you brought up with an atmosphere of I can't, do you know what? Unless you break that, you'll always believe you can't. But the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah? So what happens is simply this. You have to come to a place where your mind has to be renewed. Now, is this Bible? Paul, is it in the Bible? Well, I'll read you a few scriptures, shall I? Okay, before I do that, let me tell you what a mind is. The mind is the element of a person that enables them to be aware of the world and their experiences, to think and to feel the faculty of consciousness and thought. A lot of thoughts ran through my mind. It is to do with the brain. It's to do with intelligence and intellect and capabilities, powers of reasoning, of comprehension, powers of thought, understanding, reasoning. Some people, friends, sadly, do that for everything else in life, but somehow when it comes to God, we are not allowing the Word of God and the truth of God to renew our minds. But the only way to move forward in the things that God wants you to know is to be renewed in your mind. Yeah? See, that's why, you know, my background's Pentecostal. So I went to lots of meetings where it was, hey, glory, speaking tongues, whoa, whoa, whoa. But you know, sometimes my mind wasn't very engaged. But when I sat and listened to John Phillips and other men teaching about the fact that God needs to get his truth inside of me, and when he gets his truth inside of me, and I believe that truth bigger than any other truth or any other thing that's going on in this world, that truth sets me free. Right? So listen. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy... Luke 12:29 is a good one. And seek not ye what ye shall eat. It's the Authorized, I'm sorry. Or what ye shall drink. Neither be of doubtful mind. You read that one? Gets missed a lot. Yeah, don't seek after what you want to eat or what you should drink. And don't be of doubtful mind. Anybody guilty of that? Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You've got to retain God in your knowledge. God has got to grow in your understanding, in your mind. Who he is, what he does, why he saved you. Yeah? And when we grasp that, then, praise God, if you have that, you will have a renewed mind. But God says, or Paul says rather here, they did not retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, I ain't got time to break it down, but you just need to understand, a reprobate mind, a good description, is like when you open one of them cupboards you haven't been in for 20 years and it's full of cobwebs. Have you seen them? They're all dangling. Yeah? They're dangling everywhere. That's what happens to a mind where the light don't come on. It's just full of cobwebs and spiders. Yeah? Because you've not retained God. Okay? Romans 12 is a great one. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed Be metamorphosed. Become something else. Be a different. I've always been like this. Well, be something different. Because if you're in Christ, you can. Amen. I'm tempted to digress. See, when I met my wife, she was so timid, it was unbelievable. And God told me to marry her, so I did what she asked. But listen, even when we were first in ministry, if I went into a room full of people, she was so close behind me because she was so timid to walk in. I said, God, you've got to change her. You've got to change her because basically she's too close anyway. Do you know what I mean? Right? But she was that true, Mary? She was scared of everything. And then one day we went up to Lincoln and John Shelbourne and John Phillips were speaking about the Holy Spirit. The presence of God came down. And we'd had some big husband-wife debates. You know what I mean, don't you? And I said to her, look, darling, I know where God's headed with my life and I married you because I love you. But you know, God's got to change that in you. It's freezing you. You're locked out. Yeah? And she went up to Lincoln with all them thoughts in her mind. And then that came, that moment. I love that. Oh, I wish I got more time. That, have you seen that in Elijah and Elisha where he picks up the mantle in the Old Testament and then he says, where is the God of Elijah? Yeah? Because there comes a point in every one of our lives where we have to face who we are and where God's got to change us. And if we're going to move into what God's got for us, we've got to pick up the mantle ourselves. And I remember looking at her, and she was crying publicly, Mary crying publicly. God is at work. Right? And I remember lifting her arms and making all those little words. And then God said to her, this is a tongue that I've given you. Speak it out. And she was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Since that day, she's never shut up. In fact, now I wish she'd get behind me. She's usually in front of me. So I'm telling you, friends, from experience, God can change personalities. Somebody say amen. Amen. God can change from what you are to be something different in your life. Let this mind be in you. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for you. If you're going to hide behind the fridge all your life, or I can't do this and I can't do that, you're never going to be able to find the glories that God has planned for you. And I want to tell you, this goes right through the age categories as well. I still believe there's lots of old people who God's got great things in store for. Amen? But you just need to step up and let your mind be renewed. So Ephesians 4:23, Paul says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, I'll just go from here now because that's probably the easiest. So who am I in Christ? Everything to which you conform will become your reality. So your mindset has to be renewed. What by? Truth and faith. Truth and faith. When God says it, my stepfather Fred, he says, if God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Yeah? There's no other question if God says it. God wants us to believe him for the things that he's provided for us. So how do I get there then, Paul? How do you do this? Well, first of all, you've got to do what I just said Mary did. You've got to pick up your power authority. Your authority, truth of God, faith in his word, and the power of the Holy Spirit filling you. See, I don't believe you can be a Christian unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I hope in 2017, one of my prayers is we see lots and lots and lots of people being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. Please don't settle for it. Young man at Swaffham not long ago, He said to me, well, I've watched somebody on God Channel and they say it's all finished, all that. You don't have all that. I said, why have you come to see me today? He said, because my life's in a mess. I said, well, I'm telling you it's not finished. Right? And if you hunger and thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believe that if any man's thirsty, you can come unto him and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit, you can speak in a language you've never learned, and it will be power inside of you, and you will overcome that problem. Amen? The problem with the church so often today, we know it here, but it's not transforming us. The transformation that God wants to take place when the Holy Spirit comes, when there is intimacy with Jesus on a daily basis. Here's an example here. Like your phone. How many people have gone to work and have actually got halfway there, forgot the phone and gone back home for it? Do you know why? Because I watched the program. We are so addicted to our mobile phones now. We are so locked into our means of communication. Right? Wherever we go and sit, you look. Look, we were sat in Morrison's the other week and I looked across and there were four people all sat over across each other waiting for the meal to come. All of them on the mobile phones. Not saying a word to each other. We are locked in to that. This is our communication. This is how we, you know, send texts and do all the stuff that we do. Like your phone, how is it then that we don't seem to apply that same principle often to our relationship daily with God? Don't leave home without him. Don't stop communicating through the day. John Bevere once said this. He said, I used to have this incredible hour with God. And then one day, after my incredible hour with God, God said to me, that's wonderful, son, but I'd like the other 23 as well. Let God into the whole of your life. Into every part. So, oh, God, oh. I used to have a friend from Barnsley. He was a bread delivery man. And God spoke to him and said, Brian, every time you stop for a snack, and take a bit of that fresh, wholesome bread, put my word in your pocket and open it up and read a few verses. Within 2 years, he became a pastor. You know why? Because the word transformed his life. The word transformed his life. This is not some fairy tale. This is the word of the Lord. So when we take that book in, when we take it in, when we begin to practice it and begin to use our authority, it's beginning to renew our mind. I put Charlie Chaplin down there because I remember years ago. Do you ever remember that Keystone Cops movie by Charlie Chaplin? Ah, oh, it just came back to me the other day when I was praying. You know, They gave him a uniform, masses too big for him, you know, a police uniform where the hat came right down. I think, what do you call him, Norman Wisdom had one similar. But basically, he had the power. The Americans sometimes hold a sign up at the crossroads, you know what I mean? And they stuck him out there, right? And he didn't know what to do, and he was all in a pickle, and then he just went, and all the traffic stopped. So he lifted it, so he put it down, and all the traffic went. We turned this way and went, huh? Well, traffic went and stopped. Huh? And he started going, huh? And all the traffic's going, huh? And he went, huh? Huh? Yeah? And I just remembered, it was the sense that came over was, wow, how powerful is authority? Yeah? How powerful is authority? You know, I believe God wants to show the church again that their power that they have, because remember what I said, we're Christocentric. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. Can you get anything greater? You cannot get anything greater than that. So remember your position. Use your authority. Who's got a place of managerial capacity at work here? Come on, show me hands. There's one, there's two. Now, let's be honest here. Is there times when you say, oi, get on with that? Yeah? You're a chef, aren't you? Top chef. So is there times when you say, those potatoes are not quite sorted. Yeah? Send them back. Why? Because you have the authority. Yeah? I want to tell you, friends, when we begin to understand in the spiritual realm what God has given us, we begin to show that we are no longer under Satan, but that now we are under Christ. And therefore, we can trample Satan under our feet, Romans 16 says. That we as God's people begin to say, hey, hang on a minute. It's great that in a prayer meeting, isn't it, when everybody's praying, Lord, bless Sister Gladys. You know, she's had that problem for 40 years. And then somebody says, why? Don't ask why. She's always had it. But for somebody to say, but do we believe that God can do something about that situation? Do we believe? And suddenly the mindset begins to change. And people begin to say, hey, I believe God. I believe God can do something because Satan is under me. Listen, friends, whether you like it or not, God sees you as being in second position. You are no longer at the bottom of the pile. You are right up there with Jesus. So if you're one of those, which is often the case, as this world does and as the sinful life does, it actually affects our self-image. If we don't take on this. See, I believe that many Christians still can have an image of themselves. You know, have you ever, you've heard of Charlie Brown, yeah? And Snoopy? I read this the other day. So, if this rings a bell in anybody, if your husband nudges you or your wife nudges you, Snoopy and Charlie Brown were talking. It says, huh, well, it's normal for things to go wrong. And if anything goes right, it must be a mistake. No, that's a mindset. It's a mindset because I believe, praise God, that God wants us to understand that when we're saved, grace and favor come to our life. Grace and favor and blessing. Does that mean we won't get attacked? No, of course we'd get attacked. But does that mean that's the end of the story? No, it doesn't. Because a believer can rise up in faith and stand every day in who they are in Christ. Oh, wow. I've got 3 minutes. Okay. Church of the firstborn. You ever understood that in Hebrews? What does that mean? Church of the firstborn. Well, who is the firstborn of God? Jesus. So we are the church of the firstborn. Just in the Jewish culture, if you are the firstborn, you get 2/3 more than anybody else in the family. Come on! Well, if you don't want it, that's all right. You're going to be like that son in the prodigal story, you know. Well, I've been like this all these years and you never give me a fatted calf. I'll tell you, the father, all those, that parable shows us it's not about prodigals really, it's about the father. It's about the extent of his love and his grace. All that I have is yours. Can you get that this morning? All that I have is yours. So I am part of the church of the firstborn, and Jesus is the first begotten, the firstborn from the dead. He's alive, and he's the second Adam to the fight, and he's won the victory over Satan, and he grabbed me by the scruff of the neck, and he grabbed you, and he pulled us back to seat in heavenly places in Christ and says, you've got 2/3 more than anybody in the world. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Because I tell you, you don't need this on your good days when you've been dancing to lovely songs like Good Good Father. You need this on the days when the enemy's attacking you. You need this on the days when the battle's fierce. When you're facing something in this cold, sinful, dark world that's going wrong. That's when you need to know who you are in Christ. That's what makes you sing at midnight in the prison. You know, I read something recently, it's like the Apostle Paul, you know, and Silas, back's all bleeding, as though, you know, Silas says, well, I'm going to do now, Paul. And as though Paul's gritting his teeth and goes, we'd better praise God. It's not easy, I know, but we'd better praise God. I don't think that was it at all. I think Paul said, well, this body's only going to last a few years. Silas, we've got eternity in our hearts. Let's start singing and praising God. God got so excited he caused an earthquake. You want an earthquake in your family? Start praising him. not saying I'm not part of this, I'm not part of that. I'm different. Hallelujah. So I'm church of the I'm redeemed, purchased at great cost. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Yeah? Not spiritual, in your body. Open your mouth and say it, speak it, declare it, say it. Hallelujah. Well, we are God's children. Oh, some good stuff here. Chosen, adopted, and destined for glory. You know, where a Roman adoption was so wonderful because they used to throw their children in the rivers at night because people had illegitimate children. But if a family didn't have any children, they could sneak out in the darkness of night and stop a woman throwing her child in the river and take it. But they had to give that new adopted family the original clothes of the child, and the child would go with its new parents, and they would roll up its little smelly mucky little thing and they would put it in a cupboard, and then they would raise the child until one day they made it public. Hallelujah. And they said, today my child has reached 18 or whatever it would be. I want to tell you, he was about to be killed, but we saved him. We adopted him. Amen? We chose him or her. Yeah. And today, we are telling you, he's come of age, and all that is ours belongs to him. And the kiddie goes, Dad, Mom, what are you saying? Was this really me? And they go to that little cupboard, and they open the cupboard, and they pull out the smelly little cloth. So here's the proof. We took you. Amen. I can remember a day when Jesus came to my life, took the smelly sin of my life and said, Paul, I've adopted you. You say, that's mine. Paul, I've chosen you. You are mine. The family business belongs to you. Hallelujah. Everything of God. So I want to rise to be all that God wants me to be. Paul throws them little comments away in 1 Corinthians 6 when two of them are thinking of taking each other to court. Don't do that. Paul says, don't do it. He says, don't you know that you're going to judge angels? Hello? You see, what you understand of who you are in Christ down here is going to be actually important to who you understand you are in the coming kingdom. Could say more, won't. We are children of the King. We are privileged. We come into the King's chambers. I do like watching the Musketeers. And silly Louis is always making big mistakes. But you know, he only lets in those he wants into the King's chamber. And they're no longer his servants, they become his friends. Every time you get on your knees, believe who you are. You're coming into the King's chamber. Going to whisper something into your ear about today, about tomorrow. So, brothers and sisters, let us rise to be who he says we are. And answer that question, how you're going to live. Heavenly Father, we ask you today, as we laid our hands on our head to begin, may a transformation, may a renewal, may a, Lord, a working of your Spirit bring us in all that you've planned for us to be. There's only one person, Lord, and it's the new Paul Randerson. The old, you've said, is dead. The new has come. Let each of us live out that new man so we know who we are in every situation in Christ.